The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, the prosecution yesterday closed their case in the trial of Riad Boushakr, and News Talk's courts correspondent Frank Graney joins me now to bring us all the latest detail on the trial. And Frank, in the end, the defence decided not to go into evidence, so it was straight into closing speeches yesterday.
Yep, we're drawing very, very close now to jury deliberations. Final prosecution witnesses called on Thursday. There was some legal argument in the absence of the jury on Friday. And it was only after the prosecution formally closed their case yesterday morning that the defence informed the court that it wouldn't be going into evidence, as is their right. And the jury was told not to draw any adverse inferences from that decision. It's the right of every accused person not to give evidence because they have a presumption of innocence. That said, throughout the trial, the defence did challenge certain aspects of the prosecution's case by cross-examining witnesses, particularly those who gave eyewitness accounts in relation to what they saw on that day. And the jury also has Riad Boushakr's replies to questions he was asked during his 7 Garda interviews. He could have exercised the right to silence during those interviews, but as we know, he did reply to questioning, and the jurors will have those memos when they begin their deliberations.
So Riad Boushakr is on trial, as we know, for 8 offences arising from the knife attack on Parnell Square. But alternative verdicts, Frank, will be open to the jury. Can you explain to us what they are and in what circumstances could they be considered?
They're available in relation to the attempted murder charges, the most serious charges that Riad Boushakr faces, and the judge will guide the jury through them before they're sent out. Both sides touched on the alternative verdicts yesterday in their closing statements. The prosecuting barrister, Carl Finnegan, during his speech made it clear that the prosecution is not advocating for those alternative verdicts. They believe there is sufficient evidence for Riad Boushakr to be convicted on the charges that he stood trial for. But in terms of the mechanics of those alternative verdicts, as we know, 3 of the 8 charges faced by him are for the attempted murder of 3 children, 2 girls and 1 boy. And in relation to the most seriously injured girl, the jury in due course will have 3 options. If they're satisfied the prosecution has proven the allegation beyond a reasonable doubt, then they can move to convict him of attempted murder. But if they're not satisfied that he intended to kill, they can consider a lesser offence, that of intentionally or recklessly causing her serious harm. The 3rd option then is a full acquittal. And on the attempted murder charges concerning the other girl and a 5-year-old boy, the alternative is different because neither child suffered what the law defines as serious harm. So in those cases, the jury could instead return a verdict of assault causing harm if they find the prosecution has failed to prove an intention to kill but has proved that lesser offence. And it is important to stress that those alternatives only come into play if the jury is not satisfied of attempted murder. The judge is also expected to remind jurors that each count must be considered separately, so they could in theory return different verdicts on different charges depending on how they assess the evidence relating to each alleged victim. But the judge is the best person, without a shadow of a doubt, to explain all of that to the jury, and he will do so later today.
So Frank, based on what was said in those closing speeches, is it fair now to say that what was going through Riad Boushakr's mind that afternoon will be the main issue for the jurors to decide on when it comes to the attempted murder charges?
Yeah, I think that is a fair way of putting it. It will come down to intention. There was very little dispute in the closing speeches about who carried out the attack or that Riad Boushakr was responsible for the injuries sustained. The real battleground, as you say, was his state of mind. The prosecution argued that the jury can infer intent from his actions. Mr. Finnegan said that the nature of the weapon, the force that was used, the vulnerability of the children, the sequence of events all point to one conclusion, he said, that Mr. Boushakr intended to kill that afternoon. The defence, on the other hand, accepted that what happened was horrific, didn't shy away from the horrific details of what happened that afternoon, but argued that horror alone doesn't prove attempted murder. Mr. Boushakr's barrister repeatedly reminded the jury that attempted murder requires proof of a specific intention to kill and nothing else. And on the evidence, the defence said, this included Mr. Boushakr's Garda interviews and the eyewitness accounts, said that fell short of establishing that beyond reasonable doubt. So when the jury eventually retires, one of the central questions they'll have to answer is not simply what Riad Boushakr did, but whether he intended to do it.
So the defence spent quite a bit of time highlighting what they described as inconsistencies in some eyewitness accounts. What did they say in that regard, Frank?
Yeah, that was one of the central themes of the defence's address yesterday. Mr. Bouchacker's barrister wasn't suggesting, I should say, that these witnesses that were called over the past few weeks were deliberately lying. In fact, he accepted many of them were doing their very best to tell the truth. His argument was that traumatic events can affect memory and that people can honestly but mistakenly recall what they believed they saw. And to illustrate that point, he highlighted a number of witnesses. He said that Oisin Murphy, was a prosecution witness called early in the trial, confidently described himself as a very observant person, yet parts of his recollection were shown to be inaccurate. He argued that another witness, Siobhan Carney, who intervened during the alleged attack, he said her account went beyond what the objective evidence supported, while another witness described seeing three children stabbed in the chest or stomach, even though the medical evidence showed that only one girl suffered injuries of that nature. And he used this, I suppose, as examples of how memories, he felt, can become reconstructed over time. He suggested people can unintentionally combine what they personally witnessed with what they later saw from others or saw reported afterwards. I should say the prosecution didn't shy away from this issue yesterday. In his closing speech, Carl Finnegan didn't deny that there were differences in some of the eyewitness accounts, but said that was to be expected in the context of a fast-moving traumatic incident witnessed by numerous people from different vantage points. He said it all happened over a matter of seconds. And rather than focusing on those differences, he urged the jury yesterday to look at the evidence in the round as a whole, because he argued that when all of the other evidence is considered too, those inconsistencies don't undermine the prosecution's case. But again, that will obviously be something for the jury to decide in their deliberations.
And so the judge has already begun charging the jury. What legal directions have they received so far, Frank? And do you think deliberations could begin today?
I do. Firstly, I suppose, Mr. Justice Tony Hunt, this is the final stage before they begin their deliberations. He began his charge yesterday afternoon, but he's only partway through it. So far, he has dealt with some of the general legal principles that apply in every criminal trial, such as the presumption of innocence, which Riyad Bouchacker enjoys, burden of proof, the standard of proof beyond a reasonable doubt. The judge has also started outlining the law that applies to the charges before the court, including those alternative verdicts that may be available on some of the attempted murder counts, as I've explained. He is expected to continue with those legal directions today before summing up the evidence. That's another role of the judge at this stage, and explaining how the law applies to each allegation. As for deliberations, I do think it's possible they could begin today. The judge still has a way to go in terms of his charge, but he did say yesterday that he should be finished by lunchtime today. So it's not beyond the realms of possibility that the jury will be sent out this afternoon. But again, that really depends on how long the rest of Mr. Justice Hunt's charge takes.
Okay, Frank, and we will keep in touch with you there at the Central Criminal Court. And if you want to get more detail on the proceedings at the case, be sure to listen to Frank's podcast. It's called All Rise, the Riyad Bouchacker Trial. It's released every evening on the Go Loud app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.